George Angelfield went into his library and locked the door. He refused food, he refused visitors, and within days he was dead. A brief examination was enough to establish that George Angelfield had died from septicemia caused by the circle of human hair that was deeply embedded in the flesh of his ring finger. Charlie did not die, though he didn't understand why not. He wandered about the house in a restless, endless, hopeless search. At night he went out to roam the estate, his legs carrying him tirelessly forward, forward, forward. All the while he fingered the missus's needle in his pocket. His fingertips were a bloody, scabby mess. He missed Isabel. Charlie lived like this through September, October, November, December, January, and February, and at the beginning of March, Isabel returned. Charlie was in the kitchen, tracing his footsteps, when he heard the sound of hooves and wheels approaching the house. Scowling, he went to the window. He wanted no visitors. A familiar figure stepped down from the carriage, and his heart stood still. He was at the door, on the steps, beside the carriage, all in one moment, and Isabel was there. He stared at her. Isabel laughed. "Here," she said, "take this." And she handed him a heavy parcel wrapped up in cloth. She reached into the back of the carriage and took something out. "And this one." And he tucked it obediently under his arm. "Now, what I'd like most in the world is a very large brandy." Stunned, Charlie followed Isabel into the house and to the study. She made straight for the drinks cupboard and took out glasses and a bottle. She poured a generous slug into one glass and drank it in one go, showing the whiteness of her throat. Then she refilled her own glass and the second, which she held out to her brother. He stood there, paralysed and speechless, his hands full with the tightly wrapped bundles. Isabel's laughter resounded about his ears again, and it was like being too close to an enormous church bell. His head started to spin, and tears sprung to his eyes. "Put them down," Isabel instructed. "We'll drink a toast." He took the glass and inhaled the spirit fumes. "To the future." He swallowed the brandy in one gulp and coughed at its unfamiliar burn. "You haven't even seen them, have you?" she asked. He frowned. "Look,"